columns and videos delivered to your inbox every morning. Register for the free Denver Sports Daily at 1043thefan.com.
Go to 1043thefan.com and subscribe to The Fan Daily for the latest columns, blogs, news, videos, and more sent directly to your inbox every weekday morning.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Football at 4. Here's The Drive with Tyler Columbus and D-Mac.
We thank you for listening, and we want you, if you're up for it, to spread the generosity. Our 104.3 The Fan gift card rescue is still going strong. You can go to 1043thefan.com/gift card, and you'll find a constant updated list of local businesses. So if you're in that nature, if you're thinking in that direction, you can purchase an e-gift card to one of these local businesses and help them out today. And you can redeem it at a later time. So keep that in mind at 1043thefan.com/gift card. We talked about Ezra Cleveland, the big offensive tackle from Boise State. He had this to say earlier in the year.
Number one, I mean, I am coachable, but, you know, take in their coaching and stuff and, just try to get better in the physicality aspect and finishing, like, each play after the whistle and stuff like that.
The dude's 6'6", 311, I guess kind of short arms, smaller hands, fantastic athlete, no doubt about that. And a borderline late first-round pick or second-round pick that the Broncos had an interview with. Tyler, you said, hey, I got to go look at some tape, and I understand you did that. What are you looking at?
You know what? I did just that. I did not like those quotes.
Right.
I had some issues with them. So, you know, I will admit I went into this thing. I already had an assumption of what the play was going to look like. I feel like I watched it with open eyes, but I feel like a lot of things were validated of my opinion. I watched him play against Fresno State, and then I watched him play against Florida State.
What exactly are you watching?
The game.
The entire game?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Actually,
okay.
I was watching the offense for Boise.
Sure.
So, but yeah, I watched the entire game against both Fresno State and Florida State.
Okay.
And I would say that Ezra Cleveland, he is a very legitimate second round prospect. He is the definition of a got man guy. And
explain.
You know, that's a I tell a lot of players that are young that, hey, man, the NFL is a got man league. And at the end of the day, your coaches are going to give you technique. They're going to give you advice. They're going to want to see you do it a certain way. But as long as you got your man, they really aren't going to say anything. If you got the job done, they aren't going to say anything. Okay. But he kind of took the got man thing to a different level in that he almost always gets the job done.
Okay, good.
Almost always. So that's the good part of it, right?
Okay.
He gets it done to a satisfactory level, and I would put it at a satisfactory level because that's it. That's all he does is he gets the job done, which is not a bad thing. Like, listen, that's obviously the foundation of what you're looking for. But, you know, as Mark Schlereth talks about, I had zero rewind moments. Absolutely none. You know, he would engage and it's over. And the run game, I had some issues. He looked very soft in the run game.
How so?
He would get bubbled back at the line of scrimmage many mm-hmm. times. He did not play with leverage. He was standing up too tall. But look, all that being said, I still go back to the fact that I begin this with he is the definition of a got man guy, and I never had a play that I was rewinding as a bad thing either. You know, I saw a couple times against Florida State where he got lazy. Actually, I don't know if he got lazy or if he's just too heavy footed, but he struggled against some speed rushes. Bottom line with this guy, I think he fits the bill of a second rounder. There's a lot of things that are good. I didn't see anything that jumped off the charts that I was excited about.
Is he a better option than Garrett Bowles?
No. No.
Wow, really?
No, he looks the opposite of Garrett. I mean, Garrett is fleet of foot, man. He is athletic. He's not you're not gonna have to worry about Garrett as far as athleticism goes. I've got my concerns with Ezra Cleveland on how the athleticism will unfold, and I would specifically only play him at right tackle.
Wow. Okay, goodness.
Yeah.
Why only? What's the difference?
I don't know. Did that sound like a negative review? I really didn't intend for it to be that negative. Like I think he's a legitimate second round guy. The film is good. It's just there's nothing that is eye popping.
Why is he better suited for right tackle than left tackle?
Because he's so slow, man. He ran like a 4.91 at the combine, and so I was like, all right, dude, we got an athlete on our hands. But you watch the film, and it's just like, man, slow. Just slow.
Okay, fascinating. Okay, Lucas Niang, N-I-A-N-G. And talk about a name we haven't talked about at all, but kind of popped up from TCU. Did you get a chance to look at him as well?
Dude, I sure did. Now, I only had a chance to watch one game for Lucas today, but I watched the entire game of TCU versus Ohio State, which means who was he going up against?
Chase Young.
You're darn
okay. Right.
D-Mac, I got to tell you something. This dude is flat out exciting.
Really?
This dude, I mean, we are on to something with this guy.
No kidding.
Oh, brother. I mean, he's 6'7", 328 pounds.
He looks bigger.
He looks exactly like Mekhi Becton out there. He looks exactly like him. I mean, he is just a mauler of a man. But, dude, I don't know what the 40 time says, but I'm telling you, he looks equally, if not more, athletic than Mekhi Becton.
No kidding.
He has such a great first kick in his pass protection. I mean, this is stuff that, oh, man, Michael Orr. Okay, Michael Orr had a lot of flaws as a player, but the one thing that he was so great at was his first kick in pass protection, and he was always way ahead of his rusher. Now, that got him in trouble many times because he gave up the inside, but that's what this guy looks like. Lucas is so fleet of foot at 328 pounds. He struggled a tiny bit, just as any large man does against speed rushers. So he would open up and he would get off balance, and when a 328-pounder gets off balance, that can look ugly at times. But I started doing some further research on this guy because I was so excited about the film. He is so physical in the run game, the opposite of Ezra Cleveland. I mean, he finishes dudes. You can tell that he takes pride in putting guys on their back. And like he talks a little bit of trash to him after he does it. So I researched it. I put in Lucas Niang versus Chase Young because I wanted to see what other people's reviews of him were, right?
Okay.
And I found an awesome quote from Chase Young. Totally did not know I was going to find this. Chase was asked about the best player he ever went up against in college. And he said the TCU tackle, he was pretty good. I was a younger guy. This is talking about his sophomore year. I think they played again. But
they did.
Yeah.
They played 2 years in a row, yes.
Yeah, but he's specifically talking about he struggled so much his sophomore year. I watched the next year. But he said I was a younger guy. That's when I was really figuring out technique. Playing that game, I definitely had to find out that I needed technique to win beyond my physical skills. So, dude, you're talking about a guy that the best prospect in the NFL draft this year is endorsing as the most difficult tackle he went up against.
So this isn't even close between the two of these guys.
Not in my mind, man. Hold on. Like, okay, Ezra Cleveland, he got the job done equally as well as Lucas Niang, but Lucas brought the rewind moments.
Gotcha. And then there's some red flags with Ezra Cleveland.
I don't know if I'd call them red flags, but I wouldn't say that I liked his interview.
Okay. I mean, it sounds like work ethic, maybe something, maybe a little bit of an attitude.
Yeah.
And we haven't really heard Lucas Niang. So, you know, by the way, 40 is a 5.17. That was
Lucas.
Time.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah. That's great. That's moving. 328 pounds. What was my
expectations? Oh, geez. Here, give me a second. I can look it up. I was just focused on Lucas Niang, but we can look up Becton as well.
5.10.
5.11. Wow, Becton's that's impressive too.
Well, so I mean that's the same, dude. What's the difference between 5.11 and 5.18?
Well, I mean, Becton's another 40 pounds, though. I mean, he's even heavier. He's checking in around 370.
All right, dude. But I mean, equally as athletic, equally.
Okay. All right. Names to keep in mind. Tyler, I have an ethical dilemma surrounding Philip Lindsay and Melvin Gordon. It's a tricky one, and it's something I think the Broncos seriously got to think about. Details on that ethical dilemma next.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
I'm thinking about the Philip Lindsay, Melvin Gordon situation, Tyler, and I think it brings up a little bit of a ethical dilemma for the Broncos. Philip Lindsay, his agent, talked with John Elway. Okay, let me just kind of make my argument a tad. Why did Philip Lindsay's agent talk to John Elway?
Because John Elway told America that he was going to look at Philip Lindsay's contract after free agency.
Okay. So he's advocating for his client.
Yeah. What do you mean? Of course.
Okay. Is Philip Lindsay happy or not happy in this particular situation or neutral?
I wouldn't be happy. I would want to play somewhere else.
Right.
I'm not going to speak for Philip. I mean, I don't know exactly what he's feeling, but I feel like I could fairly well assume that he feels similarly to me.
Yep, I think that's fair. And in a Mike Kliss article where Philip was quoted, he said he's looking forward to the competition, right? And we all kind of just said, well, I don't know, dude. Melvin Gordon's making $8 million. So what kind of competition is that really going to be? Right?
Who can give Melvin more water?
Yeah. So, and I've heard this about Philip Lindsay. You wouldn't get rid of him or trade him because he's a 1,000-yard running back, right? He's that type of guy. Well, what is he now, though? I mean, what has he become to the Broncos? What is he right now, as things stand right now? Not what he was. But where do you think he stands right now in terms of his value to the Broncos?
Very high, because when you're talking about the contract value versus what you actually get back in return, I mean, your return on investment with Philip Lindsay is insanely high.
Well, it's an insurance policy.
Yeah, of course it is. But yeah. I mean, he'll be utilized if that's your question. They will find ways to get Philip on the field. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be a battle, nor am I saying that he's going to be out there even remotely as often as Melvin Gordon. But of course, you're going to find ways to utilize the skill set like Philip Lindsay's.
All right. And then there's some other things behind the scenes.
What's your deeper question there? What are you really trying to say?
I think it might be best for everybody, including Philip, maybe especially for Philip, if they trade him.
Shoot, I mean, if I'm Philip, that would be fantastic. Send
Correct.
Me to a team. Now, I guess that sounds fantastic in theory, but of course you got to know where you're going before you know if you're excited about it. If I'm going to a team where I can actually compete as a true number one, then you'd be fired up.
Yes. Well, yeah, of course. And I think the conversation with Elway
for the Broncos, though, dude. If you're just talking about what would be best for Philip Lindsay, you are correct. You are correct. From the Broncos' point of view, though, if you no longer are accounting for Philip Lindsay's feelings in this situation, if you're just the Broncos looking at it and you've got an asset right there on your team that you're paying nothing for, that you know if your starter goes down, he is more than capable of holding the job down. And on top of that, if I were to trade Philip Lindsay, you would have to ask yourself, okay, well, what are you getting back for him? D-Mac, it's not going to be a ton. It's not going to be a ton. So if you're going to trade Philip away for nothing, why would you even do it?
I wouldn't say you'd get a ton, but you might get a fifth-round pick.
Okay, well, why would they do that? Why would they, for the Broncos, why would they trade him for a fifth-rounder?
It's a good question. It's a fair question. I think you'd have to go back in history to look at other battles. Now, I don't think this is going to be as pronounced as the Kyle Orton-Tim Tebow thing. I mean, that was, like, ridiculous. you know, in terms of what a fan favorite Tebow was compared to Kyle Orton. But I think it's going kind of in that direction. I think there's going to, the longer you keep, it's kind of like with Trevor and Paxton Lynch, like, Trevor became kind of this little folk hero here in town. Kyle Sloter became a folk hero. And, you know, we see a scene where Paxton Lynch is, like, crying on the sidelines. Now, I'm not going to say that something like that's going to happen with Philip Lindsay. There's no way that's going to happen. But, nor am I saying that's going to happen to Melvin Gordon. However, shouldn't you just make it clear that Melvin Gordon is your guy?
No, it's different. This isn't the same thing as the quarterback.
You don't
think
there's going to be some drama with the fans, with inside the locker room, with the media? You don't see that there's going to be some other stuff going on here with the two of them here?
I do. I absolutely think there's going to be drama.
So if you're the Broncos, why deal with it?
I absolutely think there's going to be drama from the fan base. I think that Philip will have a huge amount of supporters that are going to go nuts as soon as he has his first 100-yard game. So I understand what you're saying there, but this is not the quarterback room. Teams don't trade players away to avoid drama like that. But they will do that at the QB position, especially if you've got a young guy that really needs to come into his own. But no other spot on the team are you afraid of drama like that. Dude, teams aren't running an organization worried about if the fan base is going to want Philip Lindsay. They might run an organization on the quarterback. Now, if you've got a backup quarterback on your team that's creating enough pressure to get on the field and the fan base is going insane, you'd be surprised how many times organizations will relent to that situation.
I think it's going to be a problem.
Well, no, it's not. What's the problem, D-Mac? I mean,
I think there's going to be drama. I think there already has been drama.
Be specific, though, because no, not specific about the drama. And if you want to talk about that, that's your choice. But be specific about what the results of that drama will be on this football team, because it's not going to be. There's not going to be much.
You know, to me, it just wouldn't be a battle worth having. You've already made your decision.
There is no battle.
Right. You've already made your decision. And you're just keeping Philip Lindsay around here for insurance when he really is a high-level starting running back for the vast majority of teams out there.
Dude, if you've got a great insurance policy that you're paying very little on, you don't go out and shop that around and take some new offer that you have to pay more for.
Would you draft a running back
cheapest or the most expensive?
Would you draft a running back in the fourth?
Oh, you don't want to answer my question.
What's your question?
How many times I got to ask you? Do you ever listen?
I'm listening right now. Go ahead. Ask it again.
If you've got a great insurance rate that you are satisfied with and you decide, okay, I'm going to go out and I'm going to shop that around. I'm going to see if I can get a better deal. But the only offers that are out there are more expensive. You got to pay more in your premium.
Okay.
Which deal are you taking? Are you going to pay more or are you going to take the one you're satisfied with?
I keep the one I'm satisfied with, but I'd look for the next step. I would look towards the future. I would draft a running back in the fourth or fifth round.
What do you? Why? You've got the future right now with Philip Lindsay. You don't have to go replace it. I don't mean the future and replacing Melvin Gordon. That's not what I mean. You've got the future for what you need out of that position.
I don't think they think that.
Oh, dude.
And I think they've made that decision.
Dude, this is crazy talk. It's one thing. I agree that it is the best thing for Philip Lindsay, the human being, to trade him. I'm with you, dude. Of course that's the best thing for Philip. But for the Broncos, that makes no sense.
What's it like being around players in the locker room that want to be traded?
Well, it depends on how aggressive they are. I know a lot of guys that wanted to be traded, and it was just business as usual. Everybody on the team knew that they had requested a trade, but they showed up, they did their business, and they contributed to the team just like they would have had they not been in that situation. And then I've been around not many, but a couple. Brandon Marshall, the wide receiver, would be
right
at the top of the list of guys that wanted to be traded. And, man, they forced their way out the door, and it was a hot mess.
Just think the Broncos should keep their eyes on it. That's all. They've made their decision who their starter is. But I get it. You disagree with me. And it's going to be, once everything gets going, which will be great once everything gets going, this is going to be, next to Drew Lock's development, the second biggest story, I think, out of Broncos training camp. I think this will be the second biggest story.
Well, my final thought is good luck finding a running back like Philip Lindsay with that fifth rounder you get in exchange.
Well, then why didn't you just pay Philip Lindsay then, dude? Why are we even messing around with Melvin Gordon if it's that special?
Yeah, don't just throw away a good player for no reason.
Okay. And Philip Lindsay's a better option than any running back that the Broncos could get, say, in the fourth or fifth round.
Dude, I don't know if somebody insane fell to the fourth round. I mean, I can't flat out guarantee it, but
because they would.
Yes, I feel very strongly that the answer to that is Philip Lindsay will be a better option.
Shoulder to shoulder.
Shoulder to shoulder, baby. Go Buffs.
Trevor Story just hit a bomb. Although they're showing a half inning where he's hitting a home run, but the Rockies are down 9-2. But I'll take it. A home run's a home run. Tyler, we have some good news during all this craziness that we have going on. A bright of sunshine beaming from the East Coast is my father, Peter McKee, 83 years old.
Peter!
And in fantastic shape. Let's catch up with my dad next.
You're listening to The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
All right, Tyler, it's time to check in with Peter McKee.
Peter.
Yeah, Tyler and Darren, how you doing?
Peter, you know my wife from Boston, right? Do you know that?
I've heard that. Yes, Tyler.
Yeah. So, Peter, see, here's the thing. My wife wanted to name my son Carter, and I said no chance in HELL. You know that didn't make sense, man.
Yeah.
That we are naming our kid Kata. I'm not hearing Kata all the time.
Oh,
Tyler,
how's a good choice, Tyler?
Yeah,
Tyler, how's Carter?
Yeah,
how does he have smallpox?
Right.
Oh my God, that would be terrible, terrible, unbelievable.
Peter, what's going on out there? What's going on?
Well,
you hunkered down?
It's raining like hell here. It's been raining for 2 or 3 days. We're just hunkered in here and watching Netflix and reading some books and stuff, trying to stay calm. We're trying to stay calm and carry on, you know?
So what was your favorite part of Lion King?
Oh, my God, Joe. The whole thing was incredible. I loved it. Thanks to Darren. He gave us a good tip. That was an unbelievable story. And the guy that kept tigers in cages ended up in a cage for 22 years.
There you go. There you go.
Wow.
Who's your favorite?
I got a little confused there when you said Lion King.
Did I say Lion King?
Pretty sure you said Lion King.
I think you're right. I meant wow. Holy cow. That's a whole other show.
I seriously was confused.
Never said a Lion King.
You know what's great? This is how confused my parents are. That made perfect sense to my dad.
Right.
Yeah, like he didn't skip a beat. So
well,
no,
I know
obviously.
What you're talking about.
Right. See, in the McKee household, Tyler. You get close enough.
Sure.
You don't get all the facts all the time. You know what I mean?
As long as you guys understand each other.
All we need is hints. Little hints here and there.
Yeah. So what's next on Netflix for you there, Dad?
Well, we're watching a British film about the soldiers during World War II. We did watch, we're in the middle of the heist movie, something about a heist.
So, Dad, what are you and Mom doing during all this? You know, you live at the, on the water.
They're chowing down on some chowder.
Yeah, you're on a dead-end street.
Foot tie today.
You don't see many people anyway. I mean,
We don't want to. We don't want to see anybody.
No. Right. Yeah.
We're inhaling books. We're inhaling books. And I'm just rereading The Great Gatsby for about the fourth time.
Okay.
And checking out Daisy. Daisy never seems to change. You know, Daisy Buchanan.
No.
And we're watching Netflix, and I'm doing some painting, and geez, like being retired. I'm glad I'm unemployed for a few months. Good.
Yeah. Hey, Peter.
Can't go anywhere.
Peter.
They want us to wear masks now. What are you guys doing? I mean, when you're not in the air, what are you doing during this time? Both of you, what do you do?
I play Rummy Cube all day long. All day long. You don't know Rummy Cube? Do you know how to play Gin Rummy?
Yeah, Gin Rummy, right.
Yeah, I mean, if you know how to play Gin Rummy, you can pick it up in 5 minutes. It's basically the same thing. Yeah. There's just little nuances that are different. Hey, has Boston, like, been lit on fire or anything since Tom Brady left?
Well, you know, I just saw today he rented Derek Jeter's house down in Tampa, island in Tampa. According to Google, what I saw, it looks like almost as big as the house he had in Brookline. He's right on the water with a dock and everything. and a 2-year rental. So he's planning to stay down in Tampa for 2 years. And Tampa, that's the place where Joe hung out with the Tigers, right? In the same location he's in?
That's where Carol Baskin was. That's where she fed her husband to the Tigers, Dad.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Getting a little mixed up. Anyways, the house looked really nice. And I'm sure they'll have a great time. Of course, it's right on the highway. He has no privacy. They're building a big stone wall around his house to give him some more privacy.
Peter, I got to know something important. Do you know about Kelly's roast beef?
Yes, right.
Tell me what you know about Kelly's. Is it famous?
It's famous. So it started in Lynn, Mass.
Yes.
And they have the best roast beef going.
Okay,
and
so
they've got a branch now in Route 1 in Saugus, and they've got a couple of others, but the big one's in Lynn, and I've eaten there many times. Very good, very good.
Well, actually, the small one's in Lynn. That might be the original one, but that one's teeny tiny, right?
Yeah, that was the original one in Lynn. Yeah. One in Saugus is much bigger.
So every time I go to Boston, the first thing we have to do is go to Kelly's. I've been to both of them, but we always go to the one in Saugus. I need you to do two things for me, Peter. I at some point when this all slows down, I need you to go to Legal Seafood and ship me out some chowder for my wife and some lobster. Okay, and are you big Legals guy? Where do you go for your seafood?
Well, we have a local place here. We get our lobsters and our steamers, it's a very local place in Essex. And there's one in Ipswich, a little place. It's either a little takeout. It's run in, run out, and grab it. You know,
okay.
But I don't know steam seafood chowder? Legals, yeah. I don't like Legal seafood chowder.
Oh, you don't? What's
like
wrong with it?
I don't know. It's too spicy. I like their clam chowder.
Okay.
Clam chowder's good.
Okay. I'm gonna need you to do that, and then
Tyler, here's what Dad can do for you.
Yes.
He can run down to the
clam
house.
There's a problem, Tyler. They don't have drive-in, and we can't go to any restaurants anymore.
Dad, he said when things settle down. He's not asking you to do this in the next half hour. But
I'd prefer the next half hour, but...
But what you gotta do is get some stuff from the clam box in Ipswich.
I can do that. That's takeout. But they had a big sign, went by it yesterday. Takeout only. But it's there. They have the best fried clams in the whole area.
You know, it's so funny, Tyler. You know you grew up on the East Coast when there's a restaurant that's shaped like a to-go clam box.
My gosh.
The clam box is famous.
With a big sign up top, 1935. That's when they started.
And all the Chinese restaurants. All the Chinese restaurants are like the size of IKEA.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right, Dad, what do you think the Patriots record will be this year?
Well, I hope they tank. I hope they tank. And I don't know. I may be, I hope it's like, what is it, 17 games this year or next year?
No, that's 16
this year. Okay, so I would say maybe 7-9.
7-9? That's not tanking.
Well, the problem is Hoyer is such a good quarterback. He'll probably accidentally throw a couple of winning touchdowns and score
by accident. So just officially, you're rooting for Hoyer, not Stidham.
Yeah.
Go Hoyer.
No. Well, Hoyer's going to start. Hoyer. Don't you think?
Yeah. You like Hoyer?
I mean, Hoyer's a household name out there.
Right.
Well, he's a good quarterback. I mean, he's good. He's not Brady, but he's good. I think that.
Wait. Who are you talking about, Dad? Wait. Dad, who are you talking about again?
I'm talking about Brian Hoyer.
Hoyer. Okay.
Who are you guys talking about?
No, Hoyer.
I'm talking about Brian Hoyer.
We're all... Who?
Yeah. Hoyer. Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
All right, Dad. You know, keep talking to nobody. That's what you're good at. And you and Mom, stay safe. And
hey, you guys, too. You stay safe. I'll just give you one last statement, and this is something that I think we should all remember, that it was a bright, cold day in April, and the clocks were striking 13. And with that, I'll bid you adieu.
All right.
See you later, Alligator.
Hold on. I don't understand. You can't leave.
Don't worry about it, Tyler. Thanks, Dad. I love you. We'll talk to you later. Bye.
I don't get it.
I don't get it either. It's maybe a Hemingway quote. He's reading Great Gatsby, so perhaps it's a... I bet you that's in the Great Gatsby.
Oh,
somewhere.
Like literacy.
He loves reading. He loves reading. He loves painting. He loves playing the piano. He loves a good bottle of wine. All right, my dad, Peter McKee. Love that dude. He's my man. When we come back, our stay-at-home broadcast roll on. We're joined by Brandon Stokely. Will he be involved with the coolest sporting event of the year? Details next.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
A little bit of chicken fry.
Cold beer on a Friday night.
Oh, my goodness.
That's right.
Cold beer on a Friday night. We welcome in our great friend, Brandon Stokely. Stoke, what's going on, brother?
Oh, not much. Just living the dream here, you know. Groundhog's Day, trying to make the most out of it, right? I mean, like everybody, just trying to make the most out of a tough situation.
I'm gonna say, you doing not leaving the house? Hold on.
He's definitely been leaving the house, though.
Oh, yeah. He does hang out with cool people and do very generous things.
Yeah.
When he hangs out with cool people.
Yeah, that was cool yesterday to be able to do that. You know, I had no plans on leaving to go donate blood, honestly.
How'd that all come to be?
Well, it was Peyton. Peyton set it up, and, you know, he wanted to do something to give back in this time, I guess, and set it up. And I think, I've seen on the TV Red Cross, they're making a big push to get people to donate blood because nobody's leaving the house. So guess what? Nobody's donating blood, but people still need blood. Right,
yeah.
I mean, the supply of blood, people are still sick, people still need blood, and their supplies have dropped so much. So he came up with it and sent a message out to a bunch of guys, and we had 7 people show up, 8 with him, and donated blood. And, yeah, no, it felt good afterwards that, you know, you did something. I hadn't donated blood in forever. I forgot how easy it is. I don't like needles.
Sure.
But it was
quick. How'd you get so jacked?
Huh?
How'd you get so jacked?
My friends at Revitalized Health, they do a great job with me. And look, I'm in the gym every day. I'm in my basement every day working out, Tyler.
I don't sit on my couch. You're getting really sensitive. I'm sorry. I didn't mean for it to go that way.
Stoked, did they have a hard time finding a vein, or did you do a quick 40 or 50 push-ups to make it easier for
them? No, I got great veins. I've always had great veins. So finding a vein on my arm is not an issue at all.
Nice.
So thank goodness I'm not a drug user.
Out of curiosity, it sounds like Peyton set it up, but do you need to make an appointment to go get blood? Or?
You do need to make an appointment. It's the Children's Hospital right there in Aurora, you do need to make an appointment. So there's stagger people out. They do a good job, you know, they got masks and everything, and it's very well run, and so I felt safe the whole time there. So, but you do need to make an appointment.
Are you going to be a caddy?
Man, is that the question? Look, I tell you what.
Set the stage.
People don't know what you're asking.
When we heard about the Tiger Woods Phil Mickelson challenge that was going to have Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, the first thing Tyler and I said is, holy cow, is Stoke going to get to be a caddy for that?
Well, I sure hope so. There hasn't been any official invitation or anything like that yet. I don't think this thing getting buttoned up yet. So we'll see what it looks like. Really, that's all I can say. But hopefully,
how cool would that be?
Hopefully, it happens, and hopefully,
right,
I can just be in the background. So that would be really cool. But
I mean, come on,
dude,
man! You've done a lot of cool things, but to get to be a fly on the wall for that would be
that would be really cool.
Come on, man! I mean,
you're talking about how much money could they raise for charities,
and
especially during this time.
Millions.
And I think hopefully it happens. That's all I'm saying is hopefully it happens, because what else do you have to watch right now? Could you imagine the people gambling on that thing right now? I mean, the sports world would be tuned in. You're talking about the world.
Oh, absolutely.
It would be a really cool thing. So
Stoke, I've never asked anything of you. I've paid every debt I've ever had with you. The only thing I'm ever going to ask from you is that somehow you get me to be like the water boy for this thing. I mean, some way, somehow.
Zach already asked, and I said, no chance of that.
I know, but I'm different. I mean, I played with Peyton, you know? I mean, I was online and stuff, you know?
Yeah,
I'm in a different category than Zach.
I think there's a few people in front of you, Tyler.
Are you sure?
You know, I'm just going to shoot you straight, man. I'm not going to try to beat
you
around
the bush. Sometimes honesty hurts, man.
That's right.
Hey, by the way, on another note, and I'm seeing the pictures on Twitter, What the hell was going on with Mike Evans and the grass clippings in the studio today?
Oh, I haven't seen that. I got a video that's coming out here during the break. I got a video for it.
But how bad is it?
It's terrible. There's an entire trail through the entire. It's not just in here. I thought it was just the studio, but I walked out to go to the bathroom, and all of a sudden I found a trail of grass through every hallway in
the
studio.
What the hell?
And it's noxious.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a video coming out during the break.
Okay. I can't wait to see it. I haven't seen anything today, but, you know, I mean, you just can't do that. I mean, how do you do that and not notice it and then not clean it up and you just leave?
Well, how do you get there in the first place? Like, how?
He's not working in the yard.
Right. So,
right?
What is he doing? Like, how did it happen?
Exactly.
Dude, I mean, he had to go in the yard to scratch his back or something. I don't know what it was, but he was rolling around in the grass and...
He left a mess.
I mean, is it surprising?
I tell you what. Kind of like the MJ story. I'm going to go with an early release right now. If you guys want to watch the it, I'm putting it out right now. Right.
I like it. Right. I like how you're doing that.
All right, Stoke, how deep are you going looking at, like, Tyler broke down Ezra Cleveland, who the Broncos had an official chat with.
Wow.
And so he was looking at that. How deep are you going with receivers? Like, how much attention, how many guys deep are you going?
Well, right now, I looked at the first six or seven or so. That's it, really.
What are your six or seven? Like, who are these guys?
I'll give you my top five. I start with Jerry Jeudy. I just think he's got the total package between route running, size, speed, everything. That is your prototypical wide receiver that's going to be able to run routes but also be able to stretch the football field. He's a total package. At number two, I got Justin Jefferson out of LSU. We all saw him this year. He's also a big guy that can run.
You know, we were talking yesterday, Stoke. Why isn't Justin Jefferson getting more hype here? All the dude did was play on the best team in college in the biggest situations and was the number one target and came through.
Yeah, I don't know. I think, you know, when you look at some of the other guys, they're just projected to be better. And you look at Henry Ruggs and his speed, CeeDee Lamb and his stats and what he was able to do. I just think it's such a deep class. Any other year, you're talking about this guy being the best wide receiver.
Okay, so Jefferson's two. Who's three?
I got Ruggs at three. No, excuse me. I got Denzel Mims at three.
Okay.
Denzel Mims is my third one. He's out of Baylor. Another big guy that's a 4.3 guy. So he's 6'3", 2-something, and he's a 4.3, 40 type of guy. So he's a big guy, struts the football field, same kind of dynamics as the other guys that I like. Played an offense that throws it all around the yard and can make plays over the top and get those 50-50 balls. So I really like Denzel Mims.
Stoke, I don't know if you had a chance to hear the promo that they got running of me. I'm kind of a big deal.
I still got two more, Tyler.
I still got two more.
I was going to ask you a question about it, but
go ahead, carry on.
Okay, sorry. Yeah. No, it's your show. I don't want to be disrespectful.
Dude, I'm trying to get on that plane. Whatever I got to do for you, man.
What are the next two?
So four is Ruggs. I do the speed. I do love the speed. He's my fourth one. I don't love it at 15, but, speed guys scare me, especially in the first round. He's my fourth one. He's a 4.2 guy. My fifth one is Clayton Claypool out of Notre Dame. You're talking about a big physical receiver that can also run. I think this guy could have a DK Metcalf type of rookie season where he just comes in and just he's got the size, he's got the speed.
Interesting.
And he's a very intriguing prospect. And then I have CeeDee Lamb as my sixth one. I just don't love CeeDee Lamb. There's just something there. I can't pinpoint it that I just don't love. But that's my top six.
I don't know if you've updated your board or not, but you've only got one wide receiver on your board. That's Jerry Jeudy at number one. So there's a huge separation in your mind of these guys.
Well, I love Jeudy. I think if you got a chance to get him, you get him. But also, I think if you're sitting there at 15 and you can get one of these tackles, you get one of these tackles. I prefer an upper echelon tackle over one of these receivers, especially at 15. But if all these tackles are gone, now you got to start looking at the receivers or defensive linemen if Kinlaw's there or C.J. Henderson. So it's going to be interesting. I don't think one of those top tackles is going to be there. Maybe Andre Thomas is going to be there. From Georgia.
Right.
But yeah, I love Judy. And then I do love Jefferson and Mims also, but there is a separation there from number one to two.
Well, I'd be really interested as you continue to even dig a little bit deeper, because I think the Broncos, Stoke, if they pass on a wide receiver in the first round, they may. It wouldn't surprise me if they picked up two wide receivers.
Sure.
And I'd be very, very curious what you think of Brandon Ayuk out of Arizona State, and of course Laviska Shenault. Like where you think that would be?
And you know Shenault, we were talking about him yesterday. It's very intriguing if he's there in the second round. Is it the Michael Porter Jr. effect there, where it's too good to pass up if he's available there in the second round? You know, we've seen the injuries. He had the core muscle surgery. He didn't run a great time. I think he ran one time at the combine. I'm not sure what it was, but he didn't have a great time. So you look at him possibly dropping there in the second round. Can you pass him up if he's available in the second round? I think you probably can't pass him up if you're the Denver Broncos and you go elsewhere at 15.
So it's my opinion that if you're going to draft a wide receiver at number 15, that means that guy has to be better than Cortland Sutton.
If he's not better than Cortland, then
why would you draft him? Would you agree with that statement or not?
Well, I disagree, Tyler. First off, just because...
Well, you watch your mouth before you continue.
Well, let me tell you why, buddy. First of all, I see where you're going with it, and I like that premise, but you know, you're projecting here. So hopefully you project that he's going to be better, but I'll bring you back to the Indianapolis Colts.
Okay, well, you agree. I mean, that's really what I'm saying. If you're drafting him there, then in your mind, he should be better than Cortland Sutton.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I take you back to, let's say, the Indianapolis Colts. They had Marvin Harrison, they had Peyton Manning, right? And they draft Reggie Wayne in the first round. Now, did they project Reggie Wayne to be better than Marvin Harrison? Probably not. But you know what? They projected Reggie Wayne to be a dang good wide receiver, and that's how it turned out. Both those guys were a dynamic duo for a long, long time. So, you know, do you project the guy? Now Reggie was a late first round pick. This is at 15.
Right.
So, I mean, this guy, yeah, he better project to be better than Cortland Sutton. And we got to remember Cortland Sutton was taken in the second round. So how do you project it? How do you see it? I just say, hey, let's draft a really good football player. And if that's at a wide receiver, that's at a wide receiver. I'd love to see a great 1-2 punch between Cortland and Judy, Jefferson, Mims for the next 5, 6, 7 years with Drew Lock throwing the football around. We got to get him more weapons.
You know, you didn't throw T. Higgins in there either. Boy, how deep are these receivers?
It's insane.
T. Higgins, geez whiz. You think there's going to be any weird drama with Melvin Gordon and Phillip Lindsay?
I don't think so. I think Melvin Gordon's a good dude. He seems like he's a really good team
guy.
I think Phillip Lindsay gets it. He you know, we saw his quotes to Mike Kliss, and I think he understands the situation. And
you think he was being you think he was being honest with those quotes?
As far as which ones? Which one?
Well, you know what, D-Mac? All that really matters is that he knows when he needs to be honest. That's what really matters. If he wants to lie to the media and say all the right things, dude, D-Mac, I'm not even kidding.
All right.
That's avoiding drama.
Well, the quotes I'm talking about, you know, he doesn't want to be traded. He's happy with the situation. Blah 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 blah.
Well, you can't be happy with the situation if you're him. There's no way that he likes this situation. He's happy with it. He just led the team in back to back years in rushing and had 1,000 over both seasons. And now all of a sudden your job's been taken away from you. It wasn't somebody didn't come in here and earn it. They just gave it to him. So how could you be happy about
There's no
chance you're happy about it.
Well, D-Mac's ready to trade him. Are you ready to trade
him?
Hold on.
Huh? I said, huh? I think what? It's complicated because when you have – all right, Stokely, how was it when Tim Tebow and Kyle Orton were on the same field? How'd that go? How was that?
Well, I was only there for training camp. And then I got the axe.
You and me both, buddy.
Thanks for bringing that up.
Exact same timing.
Don't bring up bad memories.
We both were there through training camp and got axed.
You were there through training camp.
Yeah.
How was that?
Well, Kyle's
I know you were buddies
guy.
With Kyle.
Oh, yeah. Kyle's a different dude. So, you know, he can be bitter. So how was it? I mean, they weren't like best friends or anything. That's certainly wasn't the case there. But I think that was a little bit different dynamic than what you'll see here with two running backs that are both veteran player type of players. Tebow was a rookie. So that was a little bit different dynamic there. I look at it, I say, what's best for the Broncos? Definitely not to trade Phillip Lindsay. What's best for Phillip Lindsay? I think, you know, obviously there's probably a couple teams out there that he might be able to go to right away and be the starter. But I think it can work out for him here. I think I like that mindset. I do believe him when he says, look, he's going to come out and just compete and work hard and show up and be the same guy. I do believe that. I hope they give him an opportunity. I hope they give him the football. Because I think in the end, Phillip Lindsay will be the better running back and will be the more productive running back.
Okay. Hey, man, we love our visits with you. And
I love my visits with y'all. And hey, I appreciate y'all for putting me on Ozark. I have fallen in love with Ozark. So shout out to The Drive.
Wait, where are you?
Where are you?
I just started season two. I'm two episodes into season two. Absolutely love it. So
nice.
Y'all. Now I'm starting. You said season three's out, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm done with it. D-Mac, you done with it?
I am done with it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Okay, so now I got to start thinking, if I get back on with y'all next week, y'all got to give me another show to watch.
Okay,
I'll be done with season three.
I got some for you.
Okay.
I got
some. All right, I'm going to say something about Ozark season three that's not going to spoil a thing.
Okay.
But
probably
if anybody's seen it, it's not going to spoil a thing. But
probably turn off the radio now.
If anybody's seen it, you're going to really appreciate my review of season three. It's mind-blowing.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
People didn't get their spoil heads blown off.
But everybody who's, you know, watched it will be laughing right now.
All right.
There you go.
I like it.
Good. I'm glad you're going to enjoy it. You know, it is the top of the hour, Stoke. Do you want to
KKFN, KKFN, HD1, Longmont, Denver.
Oh, man.
Boom. Boom. Choo-choo.
Thank you, Stoke.
Bring it in, baby. All right. Y'all have a good weekend.
See you, buddy. Like a pro.
How great is Brandon Stoke?
He's the man.
Him and
I had so much fun playing together because we played with the Broncos and Seattle together.
Right, right.
When we got to Seattle, you know.
He was part of Beastquake. He was on the field.
I'm not so sure he was on the field, D-Mac.
Oh, he wasn't?
Yeah, we might need to fact check that one.
Oh, I thought he was. All right, anyways.
Not for the play. He got a touchdown in that game, I think.
He was on the team, yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But, man, we had so much fun. When we were out there in Seattle, it was just kind of like, we knew each other, you know what I mean? And,
yeah.
And so we're both living in these like skyrise apartments, and we would just every single day for the entire year, there was about three or four of us that would hang out every single night in these apartments playing cards.
That's awesome.
It was the time of our lives.
That is great. And kids or no kids at that point?
I had no kids at that point, and then the next year I had my son.
Okay, and then Stoke must have had his old boy. He must have been a baby.
Well, yeah, but Stoke, I mean, he was in year, gosh, what was that at that point? 13, something like that?
Right.
He was in like year 13, and yeah, his family, they're all growing, you know, so he left them at Denver for the season there because he didn't want to have to uproot them. So he was basically living the single life with me out there.
Okay.
Except for I was married. I didn't mean to say that.
What do you say?
I meant to say the lack of kid life is what I really meant to say there.
Okay. Hey, I want to give props to AT&T Sportsnet. Since 2 o'clock, they've been showing a variety of opening day sort of moments, and it's been really cool just to have this kind of on while we've been on and seeing some of the players through Rocky's history and some awesome moments from EY's home run to EY, not EY Jr., EY's home run to seeing Todd Helton play and, you know, of course, you know, Todd Helton and Charlie Blackman and Carlos Gonzalez and all these great players of the Rockies throughout time. And I just think they did a great job with it. It's been fun to watch. And this would have been opening day. So, Tyler, just some thoughts on just some brief thoughts maybe about not having opening day of a tradition in Lodo that's been so fantastic over the years.
Hey, we're all missing out on a lot of things right now for sure. And everybody's got something that is standing out as like the first big thing that they missed in the quarantine, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a huge contingency of America that is missing today, you know, like specifically in Denver with this being our home opener. Wow. All the bars downtown. I've been thinking about them all day.
Yeah.
I've got a couple buddies that own bars and restaurants down there. And man, it is. When I say it's desperate times, I mean it's desperate times for folks in the service industry. And so I'm thinking about all of them and what this day must be. It's just, this is one of the first moments of the quarantine in which I'm sitting here saying, wow, we are really missing something huge. Yeah. Huge.
Yeah, you know, and
I guess we've had the NCAA tournament already, but yeah.
Well, for us locally, you know, the NCAA tournament's fun to watch on TV.
Yeah, but it's the first impact on Denver.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Well, there are an amazing amount of people who are being laid off and in tough work situations, but there are some companies looking to hire. And we're highlighting those companies. You can find them at 1043thefan.com/hiring for a list of local companies looking to add employees right now. So there are opportunities out there despite, you know, everybody, so many people being in a tough spot. So we're happy to help promote that. Again, go to 1043thefan.com/hiring for a list of companies that are doing some good stuff and hiring people right now. And on that note, I want to give some props to Shelby Harris. Shelby Harris today had a conference call, Tyler, as he officially signed a new deal with the Broncos. And we always have liked Shelby Harris. We always thought he was a great guy. And we wanted Shelby Harris and Derek Wolfe to come back. When nobody was chasing him away, that's for sure. I thought Shelby Harris had a terrific answer today. Mike Kliss, and it was a good question by Mike, asked him about this offseason and the fact financially things just did not work out the way he thought they were going to work out. Here was Shelby Harris's answer.
You know, at the end of the day, you know, we can go back and forth about why this, why that, you know, but at the end of the day, I'm just happy to have a job. You know, there's millions of Americans right now who have lost their jobs because of this. And so, you know, I'd rather just focus on the fact that I have a job, then, you know, if, like, you want to talk about numbers, like, at the end of the day, like, we should just be happy, we should just be blessed to be able to be employed and to have a job. So, you know, it's just, you know, it's bigger than that right now. And, you know, I just think that, you know, the important thing is that, like, you know, I do have a job and I'm able to provide for my family, but then there's a lot of people that can't. So, you know, I'm not about to go out there and I can't get mad about how things happen with other people when there's so many people in the world and in America right now who can't even say they have a job because they lost it because of the coronavirus. So I'm just happy with the way things that I'm able to say I have a job.
Dude, I'm telling you, that was one of the most thoughtful, sympathetic, reasonable. That was one of the best answers I have heard to a question, a legitimate question that I've heard in a long time, Tyler. My man, Shelby Harris, what a great answer to that question.
Oh, just very mature, very awesome answer. Can you imagine how tone deaf it would have felt had he come out and been like, man, I thought I was going to get $8 million. This is a really tough moment, tough pill to swallow. You know, now I'm settling for $3 million. Holy cow, how tone deaf would that be?
Or if he came out and just said, hey, man, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Next question. You know, if he came out.
Yeah, and there was some sort of just spite about it.
Correct.
Yeah, right.
Correct.
So, you know what? I think that there's got to be a part of him that actually believes that. That, like, I mean, for real believes that, not just saying the right things so people aren't upset with him. I mean, I think he legitimately recognizes, hey, man, it stinks. Yeah, it stinks that I didn't get $8 million, but holy cow, dude, I am one blessed dude. I'm making $3 million right now.
Yeah, I thought it was terrific, and it was, you know, in his world, it was difficult, for sure. So good for Shelby Harris, man. I'm glad he's back for another year, and we'll take it from there, right? And right attitude, right type of answer. You know, remember when Cortland Sutton, like, didn't make the Pro Bowl and he hit us with the, you know, it is what it is. And we just sat there like, dude.
Yep.
You know, you grow up a little bit. You know, like, it is what it is. Yeah. It's not the end of the world. You didn't make a Pro Bowl. You know, it's...
You know, this is a great start. I don't know if you remember, but I said probably Monday or something like that, that I was, you know, I thought it was fair to be curious on how Shelby Harris was going to be throughout the season. You know, you think you're going to make $8 million, you settle on the very team in which you had a career season, got six sacks, and they pay you less money than what you're making next year.
Yeah.
And I you know, I felt like, okay, well, that's something that I think is fair to keep our eyes on. How's he going to feel throughout the season? This is a very encouraging sign that this dude is, he gets it. He's okay.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to be a mature leader out there and do his deal.
No doubt, man. So happy Shelby Harris is back, and way to go, man. That was terrific.
Did you see my video of the Trail of Destruction yet?
I have not had a chance.
Yeah.
You want to describe your video?
No, you might. I kind of wanted you to if you had a chance to see it, but you can talk about it later.
I'll definitely look it up. Is it on your Twitter?
It's on my Twitter. Yep. Yeah. Mike Evans, Trail of Destruction.
Yeah, I don't know what Mike was. Dude, he left a mess.
Yeah, yeah, I mean...
And you're saying it's a mess throughout the station.
Yeah, literally a trail of grass throughout the hallways.
I'm trying to figure out, like, are you cutting your grass and you're wearing...
No, there's snow on the grass today.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, I can't even think about what he was doing in the grass. Maybe he went for a walk in a field or...
He was, like, shedding in the studio.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's like when my dog goes out in the grass and he rolls around and he just goes nuts and you know that there's that grass isn't fresh yet and it's flaking. It comes inside and just leaves a pile.
Odd.
Yeah.
Hey, also on the conference call today was Nick Vannett. You know, I just assumed that Jeff Heuermann is gone. But, yeah, I'm listening to Vannett and he's talking about how he's looking forward to playing with Jeff Heuermann, and you know, they know each other, they're pals, and all this stuff. And I'm like, wait a second, I thought, isn't Heuermann going to be out the door? And he was asked if he was brought in to take Heuermann's job.
Yes, and I honestly, I have no, and I thought about that, but I have no idea what the plan is. I just know that they're looking for me to come in and create some competition and. You know, just to help out in the run game. You know, I think, you know, in the past, you know, that room has struggled with some injuries and, you know, and that stuff. So I think they're just looking for someone to come in and add more depth to the room and, you know, create some more competition, you know, in the run game and just, you know, as a whole. So, yeah, I've talked to Jeff. He reached out to me and congratulated me on signing with the Broncos. He's excited that we're going to be in the same room together. So I think he's more excited just that we're reuniting more than anything. So, but we haven't really talked about, you know, what could happen down the road or what they plan to do. So I have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, we should explain. They were teammates at Ohio State.
Yeah. Interesting situation. You know,
very interesting.
I couldn't tell you why Jeff Heuermann is still on the team other than I mean, the only thing it could be is they're just waiting until there's somebody else they want to sign and they want to free up the money, and you know, there's no reason to release them until you have to.
Yeah, I mean, Heuermann went in the 2015 draft and Vannett went in the 2016 draft. Well, let's bring Mike Kliss, our 9 News Broncos insider, into the conversation. Mike, good afternoon. How are you?
Doing well. What's going on, guys?
Well, we're doing well. I appreciate it. Isn't Vannett here to take over for Heuermann?
Yeah, he is. And you guys kind of hit on it. There's, you know, it's a 90-man roster, and they don't need a roster spot right now. But I'm not sure the timing now because of everything that's going on. You know, there's not going to be any OTAs to worry about. They're not coming in for physicals. I'm not sure what you can do and can't do, really, roster-wise right now. But when it push comes to shove and it's time to pick your 55-man roster, there will not be, you know, Jeff Heuermann, you know, we'll be playing somewhere else, I would think. Vannett's making $3 million. He's playing the same role as Heuermann, who's in line to make $3.85 million. you don't need two blocking tight ends for, you know, a total of about $7 million.
So if you were to release Hireman right now, how much money would they have?
I don't know.
Give or take, of course.
give or take, probably. And budgeting in for the draft, I would say the $5 to $8 million of spending power type.
Okay.
You know, enough to get a player or two.
Yeah.
You don't need, you know, for right now, you can get players for $2 million, $3 million a year at most. You can get a bunch of guys for $1 million. So, but yeah, you're looking in the $5 to $8 million type range. I would think some of that you got to hold back for injured reserve guys after the season, and then others you want to hold back for flexibility on how you want to adjust going into training camp, how you want to adjust going into the season, picking up guys that are cut.
Well, it's interesting because we've still got a need at corner, of course, and we all assumed that we were going to pick up a guy like Prince Mukamara or somebody in that category. They have not done it yet, but another name is now available. Eli Apple had his deal fall through with the Raiders. It was going to be a $3.25 million deal, but, you know, a corner in the $3 million range, is that entirely out of the question right now?
No, that's not out of the question. I just don't know. I don't think they were in on Eli Apple before.
Okay.
So, you know, when he was a free agent, he had, you know, three or four teams in on him, and he wound up going with the Raiders, right? And it fell apart.
Yep.
And I don't know where the Broncos would be on that right now. That's a good question. They do need one more. And besides Boye, they were looking at, you know, before the Boye trade, they were looking at the Byron Jones-Bradbury group.
Mm.
And then when they got the Boye deal done, they were looking at Kevin Johnson for a while. They were concerned about his medical. So they still could go, you know, one of those veterans or wait for the draft and then go for the veteran. I would think if you're a player out there right now and, you know, you're in that $2 to $3 million range. You almost want to wait. If you can't get it fully guaranteed, you almost want to wait till after the draft and then see what teams have holes that they still have to fill.
Mike, what should the Mary Mocksters know about how the Broncos think about receivers?
They're going to get one in the first two rounds. You know, I think I said on the Zach and Stokely show yesterday that, and I was surprised that this got retweeted a little bit, but the only thing I know about it is that everybody's top receiver board, it does not line up with the Broncos' top receiver board.
How so?
I don't know what that means. I don't know names. I don't know who they like, anything like that, but that's about all I've been told. It's pretty general, non-specific, but it's, maybe they'll have a surprise for us at 15 or 46 at the receiver position.
Well, let's think about that for a second. I mean, if there was going to be a surprise at number 15, I mean, specifically we're talking about number 15, right?
Well, their receiver board, yeah, I suppose you would be talking. I mean, at 15, you're going, I think, receiver or corner. I don't think you're going offensive tackle at 15. I think you're going receiver or corner.
All right, well.
So I don't, you know, maybe that means Brandon Ayuk at 15. I don't know.
Ayuk, you know, Mike. Ayuk, not Ayuk.
Yeah, okay.
I'm trying to help you out because I've watched 10,000 more time ASU games than you have. But that's
Yes, I know you have.
There's understandable reasons for that.
But Ayuk, I think makes some sense for the Broncos in the second round if he's there.
Absolutely.
Because he's a second round, because he's a return guy.
That's right.
You know, I got to think Jalen Rager.
Yeah.
From TCU is a return guy.
What about Laviska Shenault?
Yeah, Laviska Shenault helps you in 2021.
Okay.
I don't think he's helping you much in 2020. So that's
so wait, hold on, Mike. Mike, if you had to guess
core muscle, that core muscle injury was what Troy Fumagalli had when he missed his whole year. Now, I know everybody heals differently, but I think that's a pretty major surgery he had pretty late.
Mike,
he had it after the combine.
So if you had to guess, and I understand this would just be a guess, and if the Broncos board looks a little bit different, at 15, if it's a receiver, everybody has Ruggs. Everybody who doesn't have Ruggs has Judy or perhaps CeeDee Lamb. So give me a name.
Yeah, the only name I could think of, I was looking at all these guys, the only one I could think of would be somebody like Justin Jefferson. You know, outside of that, all the top four or five, they're well discussed.
I was just going to say Justin Jefferson of LSU would be a guess.
Well, we really like Justin Jefferson. We were saying that yesterday.
Yeah.
And, I don't understand why the number one target on the best offensive production offense we've seen in college football forever, a guy who's targeted 9 to 12 times a game, we don't understand why he wasn't where he is. So are you saying that's a name we should keep in mind?
I mean, I think the Broncos like him. I don't know I don't know what that means. They interviewed Ayuk at the combine.
Mm-hmm.
They interviewed Ruggs at the combine. Judy, I think they interviewed all of them. And I'm not sure who they're doing in these Zoom video visits as far as receivers.
Well, you gave us a couple names. You don't have anybody else. You gave us we've been doing a deep dive in it.
Who else is there? Mims? I haven't heard anything on Mims. Who else? Give me some names there. I'm trying to think on, that have been first round,
Rager, Mims, those guys are mostly mocked in the second round.
I mean, we got Rager, Mims, Higgins, Chenault, and of course,
the top of the list, Mike, is Jerry Judy. You've CeeDee Lamb, Henry Ruggs.
I like Ruggs, The reason why is let's not overthink this. Cortland Sutton is a really good receiver, but they're talking about they need a top end, a guy who takes the top off type that'll back off the safeties. And to me, that's I think more than Judy and more than Lamb. I think a defense has to account for Ruggs. I mean, I think they're keeping a safety back. I mean, you consider all the receivers in this draft, which receiver is forcing the opponent to keep a safety back, like deep safety? And that's Ruggs. And then you can, and he looks like he's a pretty good receiver from what I've seen as far as on the slants and the intermediate patterns. So let's not overlook the obvious. Everyone's got the Broncos at Ruggs. I think Ruggs would make sense. If not, and he goes a little earlier, which I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't go a little earlier, then maybe you go corner. You go with the C.J. Henderson from Florida.
Oh, my God. If they do that, I'm going to just throw up. I am just going to lose my – I'm just going to vomit if they go in that direction.
What happens if they take a tackle?
I'm fine
Would
if they take
work?
A tackle. Oh, no. Shoot, the tackle's A-OK.
Yeah, let's do it. Come on, Mike. That's what we all want.
Yeah, hey, no problem there. You got to – this is the time to help out Drew Lock. Anything that helps out Drew Lock in the draft in the first three rounds, I'm okay with. You're going corner. Man, dude, you had your chances.
They did the tackle. Elway did the tackle once with Garrett Bowles. I'm not sure he goes back there,
Wow. Was Garrett Bowles a scarred for life? Holy cow.
Well,
all right, Mike, we got to get running here, but we appreciate it. We always appreciate it. It's Friday. It's happy hour, Mike. Your favorite time of the week.
Let's hope someday we can adjust this schedule for me.
Okay.
And
we start doing
these hits earlier in the day.
Mike, we want to encourage you to participate in your weekly rituals. It could only make this appearance more interesting.
Well, something has to. But I know what you're saying.
All right, thank you, Mike. We appreciate it.
All right.
There you go. Mike Kliss, Tyler, bumming us all out, bringing up corner at 15.
Come on.
dude.
Not a corner. Just not
please.
A corner. Yeah.
What a nightmare. Can you... I've had some amazing draft night moments, and I've had some bummers, and man, I have not been wrong about my bummers, by the way, dude.
I wouldn't understand any of the plan if it was a corner at number one. I wouldn't understand really, anything.
It would be a disaster. It would, and I'm not talking about, hey, man, Henderson, I'm sure he's great. Yeah, okay. It's just like, what the freak is your plan? They haven't done it. That's Mike spitballing right there. I think the more interesting note is to, you know, we should maybe talk about Justin Jefferson a little bit more. That would not surprise me. With all the hype, if they took Justin Jefferson instead of Ruggs, I would understand why. I would absolutely understand why.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
And let me tell you, and every single mock I've seen, that dude is there at 15.
Oh, of course. Everywhere.
No problem.
Yeah, because he's in the second round in most.
All right. There's something going on in sports, believe it or not, that is just a you-gotta-be-kidding-me moment. Unreal that this is going on. Details next.
Columns and videos delivered to your inbox every morning. Register for the free Denver Sports Daily at 1043thefan.com.